morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Expansive Podcast. Always a wonderful, wonderful pleasure to be having you with us on this pod. And the recent Instagram Wrapped just came out yesterday, which we'll be talking about. And I am totally flabbergasted in what has happened because, as you would know, if you listen to the pod, I haven't just looked at the numbers at all this year. And this was an incredibly delightful surprise when Eric shared them with me. But before we kick in, let's do a quick check-in with my co-pilot. Eric, what's happening, brother man?
Hey, brother.
Nice to be chatting to you again.
Yeah, dude. Can you believe we are doing the final pod for the year? It's flown by and here we are again. And I think it's the sixth time that we've done a wrap for the year. We've been going for 6 years, which is also in itself is like a mind-blowing number actually to think about. I don't think either of us anticipated the pod would run for this long. Like if I sat down with you and I said, listen, let's do a pod for the next 6 years. I don't think we would have envisioned it to last that long, but here we are and still going and still loving the process.
And we had an increase of 600% in listeners.
Yeah. Well, take us through those numbers. I mean, and that's just Spotify, right?
That's just Spotify.
Yes.
600% increase in numbers. That's mad. And then my two favorite stats were, 94% better, longer listened to than other pods. So people are tapping in and tapping out of pods. People are staying with us for 90% more than other pods. Dude, 94% than other pods. That's ridiculous. And then what was the other one? 97 or 92% most shared pods?
Across Spotify.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this week's Expansive Podcast. Always an absolute pleasure to have you all joining us. And I don't know if you've been listening or not, but I haven't looked at the numbers all year. And yesterday we got the Expansive Wrapped from Spotify, and the numbers were unbelievable, quite literally unbelievable. In fact, the emoji I used to describe it on Instagram was unbelievable. But before we get into those stats and unpack what they mean, and so thank you to all the listeners to be with us, let's say hi to my co-host, Eric. Eric, what's happening, brother? Long
hey,
time
brother.
No see, like 10 minutes is what I mean, but long time. What's happening, man?
Dude, I mean, it's good to be with you. It's good to be on the pod. It is sixth time that we are wrapping out a year, which tells us that we've been going for 6 years, which in itself for me is a mind-blowing number. I don't think when we started, either of us thought that the pod would run for this long. And definitely if I sat you down and I said, listen, I want us to commit to a podcast for the next 6 years, that would have been the...
Look, I think this is the longest relationship I've ever had, Eric. It's the longest relationship I've ever had, you know? Breaking milestones here.
Absolutely incredible to have been doing this for 6 years and to get to this point and to still be loving it and to still be looking forward to doing more and expanding and evolving. And we just had our strategy session last week to talk about the future of the pod and where we are going next and what we are doing next. And so to receive the Spotify Wrapped stats have been amazing validation of also a lot of what we've been thinking about. So what are some of those stats?
You know, before I go into the stats, do you remember we wanted to change the name of the pod and then all of a sudden we won some prize? Remember, like something happened and we were like, oh shit, we can't change the name now. It's quite established. We didn't realize how established it was. And you know, it's been the most incredible year because there's been no pressure of outcomes or recording for numbers or for stats. That's why we're having so much fun. I think the pain comes in an expectation and an addiction to an outcome. That's really what causes burnout. That's what causes lack of creativity.
Yeah.
And so for us, the three main stats that really stood out for me, which I didn't really take into consideration when you first sent them to me. And the next morning I woke up and I read them properly. I was like, what? So the first one was 94%. We have people listening to our pod 94% longer than any other pod on the Spotify app. That means that people log into podcasts and leave. People stay with us for 94% more than other pods. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's ridiculous. And so that's awesome that they're coming with us. And I mean, all the comments we get is about our banter and the fact that it's easy listening. That's actually all it is. It's two mates just talking shit, like, you know, just having a good time.
Yeah.
And then the second stat that really got me as well was 92% most shared pod on Spotify. I mean, Guy.
That is, that's incredible.
Do you remember we were in the top five? Oh, that's the stat that kept us. Top 5% most shared pod on Spotify. Do you remember that was actually what happened 2-3 years ago? Now we're in the 92 percentile most shared apps on the pod. You're like, what? That's just... Round of applause for Eric and Sean. Round of applause, Eric. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing, fantastic. Dude. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know, congratulations.
Yeah, and I think what's... we inadvertently stumbled on a format that I think just works very well. And if you think about the trajectory of the podcast, it was two friends who somehow created an award-winning podcast and then turned that award-winning podcast into a best-selling book. And it's just all been through having fun conversations and sometimes talking about very serious things, but still in a very lighthearted way. And it's been masterclasses and it's been therapy sessions. You know, it's been like, it's been a mix and all over the show, but I don't think we've ever tried to take the pod too seriously. And people pick up on that energy. Earlier this week, I made a post where I said, like, and we kind of spoke about this earlier, is that I've tapped out of podcasts, most of them, because it's just so boring to listen to the same old interview format where you're sitting listening to someone, interviewing someone where there's no real connection. They're just talking content. And it feels like most of the content that exists, you've heard in some shape or form. Like, there's nothing new under the sun. So you listen to the same content in a very dry, boring way. Like, I'm over it. And the way forward is that, you know, it's these kind of pods where you feel like you are sitting in the room with us and we're just having a chat, but there's actually connection. The connection fuels the podcast and creates connection to the people also listening. And actually, when I did the poll on that post, something like 96% of people agreed with me on that topic. So it's a universal thing. People they're craving that connection, I think. And you don't get connection in a typical interview format.
Yeah, that's true, because you don't have the longevity of those characters that you're listening to, right? You're only hearing one of them one at a time and the other one's interviewing.
Yeah.
But if I want to be totally, totally honest, I was too egotistical to be on a pod to interview other people. I was like, I don't want to be interviewing other people. That's not my skill. My skill is to be interviewed. And I was like, well, I don't want to start a pod until somebody's interviewing me. And then I was like, well, how can somebody be interviewing me all the time? That's not going to work either. So I think we found the sweet spot, just conversational stuff. And now you've already sent me some links to showing that the trajectory of pods is conversation between co-hosts, not actually the interview format. The interview format's becoming less popular and the conversation between friends or co-hosts is increasing. Why? Because of the friendship that you develop and the familiarity and those personalities that you develop. And that's why we've had a 600% rise in listenership, because of this friendship, and it's genuine friendship. And we see people say it online as well. You know, when we're going each other on LinkedIn or Instagram and we're having a bit of a jab at each other, people are like, these guys, you know, they know each other too well, or they're having so much fun with each other. And I think that's kind of the thing. So, yeah. So, I mean, just to wrap that up, thank you so much to everybody that has been part of the journey, and we will continue to do so. But also, just to let you know that next year we are rethinking the pod. And the pod next year is really going to move towards even more authentic conversations. We haven't really come up with a new name yet, but we really want to move it towards focusing more on a conversation between two friends. And this is really where we want to take it. Whereas before we were like more corporate focused or more leadership focused. Now we're saying, look, we're two genuinely good friends and we do a lot of research and a lot of work behind the scenes. And we can bring that across in a more authentic, more human, more real way when the pressure of corporates is off us, when the pressure of making sure that leaders are listening to the pod, when all of that's gone and dead, our authenticity becomes most important. Now, I got to tell you, which is so funny, I'm posting on on LinkedIn a lot, right? And my team is posting, I'm posting, we're all posting and so much posts going on. But you know that the most watched and the most engaged
That's
going to
be the elephant
one. The elephant one, the one dissing McKenzie, the one, I mean, the only ones that are the ones that are dissing people and mocking people, including ourselves, because that elephant one was mocking yourself, right? Is you're mocking yourself. I mean, of course, it's a bit risque. And I imagine some of my Middle Eastern clients were like...
Especially for LinkedIn.
And my Middle Eastern clients were like, what? Yeah. But either way, it's that authenticity that allows people to feel seen, feel heard. And also, let's be honest, the whole corporate speak is such a crock of crap because everybody's saying the right things and in the right way and nobody means shit. And everybody's thinking different and everybody's thinking F you behind the scenes in their own head. But in front, they're like, yes, let's circle back to that. And our boss, our leader, I cringe when somebody says our leader. I'm like, what do you mean our leader? Are you not an adult? Like, you be an adult, bro. You're not in school. Anyway, I think that's important to say because we've also got to wake up to the fact that you're not a kid. You're an adult. Yeah. Act like an adult. Like, and that's what people want. They want responsibility and they want initiative, but then people act like they're in school, scared of their boss. I mean, God, that's cringeworthy.
Well, look, also, I mean, for anyone listening who's in the content creation space, it's definitely moving to a space where you want to highlight a lot more humanness and kind of imperfection. Because with AI, and I mean, we've spoken a lot about AI this year, and every time you feel like it's like we've just hit a new milestone. And like by the time that news cycle settles, there's a new milestone. And we literally are now at the point where you don't know whether you are seeing online is AI or not. There's just like, I look at videos sometimes and I have to look at it 10 times to go. And in my head, I'm not just looking at the what's on screen. I'm going, is this plausible? Like, is this, you know, like I'm trying to like...
Dude, you did it to me.
Dude, but I mean...
You did it to me.
That was the perfect example. That's a perfect example. Yeah, you know, you are someone
who's... Tell the listeners.
You are someone who's very, very clued up with AI. Like you are studying this obviously all the time. And you sent me this like incredible video of a chihuahua. That got lost in the wild and then was found by a pack of wolves and then integrated into this wolf pack and actually... kind of became the alpha in the
boss
group, you know?
Yeah.
And you look at the videos and it's like this night cam footage and you can see the wolves around the chihuahua and it's like, it's barking at them and you can see it's sort of taking control. And you sent it to me and it was a very heartfelt, like I could sense, you know, how connected you were to the story. But then when I started looking at it, I was like, this is AI. This is like...
That's just, you hurt me, huh? You upset me so much. Dude, I was like, no way. Because you know what? I think my love of dogs overrode my objectivity on AI. Totally. Like totally.
But yeah. that is exactly the thing. It's like it actually, you get engrossed in the story. And because you are so engrossed in the story, you overlook the like the small inconsistencies that might make it AI. And also, it was just so good. It looks so real. Like if you are just looking at it, you need to kind of...
And dude, there was a series of videos. If you go onto the guy's TikTok, there's like 8 videos about this chihuahua being found and then this and then this. I was like, no, this got to be real. This got to be real.
Dude.
Oh, God.
But
anyway.
I find that's the sweet spot. I want to give it a name, but there's a sweet spot where if a video is like, it's dull enough to be real, but it's like exciting enough to be like, could this really happen? Like it almost feels like it's on the realm of impossibility. But when it hits that sweet spot between those two spaces, that's where you get caught out because you're like, oh, this could be real, but I'm seeing something that is extraordinary. And so because of that...
And I also want it to be real.
Yes.
Actually, I want it to be real.
And that story is
that's
part
what
of
it is.
I want it to be real
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. I want it to be real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you being more imperfect and being more authentic and being more human online is going to be a key differentiator, because everything else is going to be up for interpretation. Like, we don't know whether it's real or not. And I also think it then starts shining, because we are just attracted to the humanness of it. You know, like, that's what ultimately, like, drives us. Like, you are attached to even AI because of this, like, the human story behind it of, like, of course. Like, look at what happened, the transformation that occurred.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting year for sure from a content point of view. And also, I mean, we are all competing. That's why you'll see a lot of more expansive posts next year as well. We are all competing with the same content. Like, it's not just we are competing against Joe Rogan or Diary of a CEO. Yeah. You are competing against literally every single piece of content in the feed. That's what you're competing against.
I also want us to rename it to Diarrhea of a CEO from now on. That's all that it's going to be called on this show. That's funny. I was on a call with somebody else this morning and I said, and I just said it in passing, like, Diarrhea of a CEO. He's like, you also think it's crap. I was like, yeah. He's like, other people think it's amazing. I think it's terrible. I'm like, me too. I think it's terrible. It's diarrhea. It's not fucking diary anymore. Either way, we have got an exciting 2026 ahead of us. We also know that it's the year of the horse. This year has been the year of the snake. And the year of the snake is about shedding skin and letting go of things. And, you know, I have never had so few aftershaves in my life. I cleared out. I'm telling you, I had so many aftershaves. I cleared them all out. I've got, like, I think 4 left. I feel so good, man. I feel so clean, clear, ready to run like the horse. I've also never had a more booked a year ahead like I have for 2026. So there's a lot cooking. There's a lot evolving. And I think it's going to be a very, very exciting year if you are centered. If you're uncentered, it's going to be a very difficult year. If you don't have a meditation practice, if you don't have something that's stilling you and centering you as often as possible, you're going to be in trouble, because there's so much change and movement coming. The only thing you really can control is your centeredness. And I think the best place for us to see centeredness is India. If you go to India, and I've been to India a few times, it's absolute chaos. It is absolute chaos from the minute you land to the minute you leave, but everybody is calm. Everybody is calm. That's why it's the most spiritual capital of the world, because people are so connected internally because they have no choice. If they look for stability and stillness from the outside, they're finished.
You won't find it.
And so it's so important to find that stillness. And you've got an incredible meditation practice that's growing. Mine is very solid. And I always am telling most people that I speak to is, like, pick up a meditation as soon as possible. Center yourself as often as possible. The minute you start losing your personality or you start getting triggered, you've lost the game.
2 things. One, the short code for Year of the Horse is Yoth. So that's, if you hear me reference Yoth. Yoth.
Yoth?
Yoth.
Where did that come from?
It's just Year of the Horse.
Did you make it up?
Horse. Yoth.
Year of the Horse. Oh, got it.
I was busy updating. Our Wi-Fi went down, and then it's always been called Beach Headquarters. But I had to rename it. So I was like, I'll just call it Yoth. So that is the,
that's
the short code for Year of
the
Horse.
I like that. Okay.
Secondly, I think let's quickly talk a little bit about 2025. And
yes,
starting with our word of the year. It's always a very popular start to the year, is that we sit down and we frame the year by choosing a word that we want to live into, that we want to see reflected in reality. And your word for the year was sovereign. So
that's right.
Tell us about it. How did that play out for you in the year?
Well, I mean, the first indication of sovereignty was when I arrived at Dr. Zach Bush in Costa Rica earlier in the year. And the first thing he says when he starts the course, this course is about your sovereignty. I was like, what? How the hell? That's exactly what I'm about. And I guess the word sovereignty is really about making decisions based on me, not on the outside. Based on what makes me come alive, not what I think the outside requires of me. And I think the podcast itself has been a great example of this, is us doing things that are really what we love, not what everybody else needs to love. And what this really does, it focuses a lot of energy towards you. Because when you do things based on what other people want, you have a dispersed energy. Your light is dispersed in many different ways, hoping that other people are seeing you do things based on what you think they want you to see. So, for example, wearing a Gucci tracksuit or having a Louis Vuitton bag or any of those cringeworthy, embarrassing things. I mean, when I see people with those things, I feel embarrassed for them because in their mind, they are not doing it for quality. They're not buying Louis Vuitton for quality. They're buying Louis Vuitton so everybody else can see them in Louis Vuitton, which means you're doing things for extrinsic reasons, which means you're not sovereign. You're actually in the matrix. Sovereignty means I do things for me. And some people can call it selfish. I call it self first. And it's really doing things that make me come alive. And if things aren't making me come alive, then they're not valid. So did it work well? Yes. Was it top of mind for me? Yes. You know, my passwords are always changed with many other variations attached to them, obviously, before you try and go break into my bank accounts. But I'm constantly reminding myself of the word, and I'm constantly coming back to the idea of, if my theme is sovereign, am I doing this for John or am I doing this for somebody else? And I've cut out people in my life. I've cut out places, aftershaves, clothes. I even think I can't live where I'm living anymore. Like, I almost think I have to move.
Really?
And so it's, yeah. Since I got back from Dr. Wow. Joe, I was like, I think I need to move.
You mean as in Dubai, or you mean as in the apartment?
That's not clear yet.
Okay.
So, but even then it's like, okay, so the sovereignty of, okay, what's making me come alive and what's making me really, really excited? I'm like, okay, I think I've done the marina now. You know, I've been here 6 years. I'm like, okay, maybe I need to explore something else. I don't actually know where the next is, but it all comes down to sovereignty and being very, very connected to how your body and you are feeling. Now, I haven't made the video yet, but I've got a rant about Whoop and Aura rings. And the Whoop and the Aura ring are doing something fundamentally destructive to us. They are disconnecting us from our bodies. And you need to be so connected to your body. And the only way you connect to your body is by developing a relationship with it, like anything. Think about when you used to have a dog and you didn't have a relationship with it. The dog was just a dog. The minute you developed a relationship with it, the dog became this unbelievable friend that's the most important thing in your life almost. And so with anything in life, if you don't have a relationship, it's almost like an invisibility. Dr. Joe always says, if you don't believe there's a field with 99.99% intelligence, you can't access it. It doesn't exist for you if you don't think there's one. And if you think there's one, how much time are you spending developing a relationship with it? Now, when we come back to our bodies, this year has been a big year for my body because I want to be more in tune with my body. I want to hear my body more. I want to respect my body more. I want to give my body a voice so that it can tell me itself what and how it needs when it needs it. And these are subtle messages initially, but eventually they become very loud. Now, once you've developed the relationship with Whoop and Aura, you're taking yourself and your body out the equation of how you feel. This is a drastically dangerous thing to do because you'll never then connect to your body. You continuously rely on some technology to tell you how you should feel, which is a horrible thing to think about when you think about it in the long run.
Sure. You're going to upset a lot of biohackers about that.
Look, biohacking itself is very much based on Newtonian science because Newtonian science says that every action is a reaction, whereas quantum science says you don't have to be doing any biohacking except changing your frequency. So also biohackers are stuck in a realm of only accessing 0.01% of our reality, whereas with Dr. Joe's work, which is actually quantum science, shows you that all your health and all your anti-aging sits in a frequency that's outside your current one. So biohacking has to evolve and has to improve, just like everything else does. And so biohacking is new, but there'll be new versions of biohacking that needs to come up. And as a futurist, I'm here to always explain what the next thing is. Because red light therapy and cancer treatment and aura rings are all awesome if you're living in a Newtonian science world. In a quantum science world, they're laughable.
Sure. Yeah. No, I like it. I like it. I think you're going to upset a lot of biohackers with it, but I like it.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. Of course. It's also like bankers defending banking when Bitcoin is coming.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's F1 drivers still defending F1 driving when driverless drone racing is coming. You're like, yeah, you're playing and it's also great what you're doing, but you're working in a dated system. But because you're so caught up in it, and anybody who tells you otherwise, you defend it instead of being curious about it. And so, yes, of course.
Don't you think it's a case of and not but? It's not like, it's not just quantum science, like those two things. Because in my mind, I'm like, does Newtonian science and quantum science not work together ultimately to form something more holistic?
The rules are totally different.
Because, look, you're not going to meditate your way into a six-pack, dude.
Okay, let me tell you a story. So, I like this. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity, Eric, to tell you about the story. So there was a professor from Harvard who did a talk at Dr. Joe, and she had a piece in a talk called Think Yourself Thin. Okay? And what happened was they went to this hotel in Miami, and they had Latino ladies who were very bloated, very inflamed, and quite large, who were cleaning the rooms. And they were working very hard. And they told half of them that, do you know that all the work you're doing is equivalent to doing, I don't know, 8 aerobic classes a day? They were like, what? They're like, yeah, the work that you're doing is incredibly intensively exercise focused. And they were like, no way.
Super cardiovascular. Yeah.
Super. Yeah. And the other group, they didn't say anything to. Guess what? The people they told that were aerobic lost weight. And the people that didn't tell stayed exactly the same. Think yourself thin. And so quantum science gives you every opportunity available to you for you to click into the frequency of it. Whereas Newtonian science says, work harder within your current frequency. Push more within your current frequency. So no, they are 180% degree different to each other. And Newtonian science was valid. Now that quantum science is becoming more and more part of our lives, it's a very difficult thing for our linear brains to catch up to. Like, it's very difficult for you to think that every opportunity available to you is available to you. You just have to click into it.
It is difficult to think about that. And the question I have for you is, like, because we've seen all the amazing thirst traps this year, would you stop exercising?
No.
Do you think you'd keep your body if you stop exercising and you just meditate and think that the work I'm doing is going to get me like that body? Because that's what I'm trying to reconcile, you know, it's like...
But I do think that I could create more money in the ether than by working harder in here. You know
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But it's weird because like, so that's why I'm trying to reconcile the two and go, well, is it that they play together instead of at odds with each other?
Look, I think that when you get too caught up in Newtonian science, you don't give the opportunity of potential to come in through quantum science.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think when you're playing in quantum science, you have intentionality with what you're doing in this reality.
Mm.
So, of course, I would not keep... Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm saying this now, but would I keep the same muscle density while... just meditating? I don't think so. But have you seen those monks that meditate in the middle of the freezing weather and things are steaming off them? Have you seen those guys?
I think I have seen it.
Yeah. And so you think about that. That's also moving into a different space.
Yeah. It's a super interesting conversation, dude, because I'm a firm believer, obviously, in the power of the mind and what we can access through that. And what you've just mentioned and like placebo studies and studies of placebos off placebos, like it goes like levels deep.
Yeah.
It's like it's clear that when people believe a certain thing, it has an effect in reality. That, like there's no doubt about it. But it's always the case of to what extent can that be pushed? Like, can you just be sitting in a room, just meditating, or like just thinking these things and all of it falls into place in reality? It has to be complemented by the Newtonian like
with action.
Action.
No, but
to get the reaction.
It must be.
Yes.
It must be. Yeah, but most people are just doing the action without any intentionality, without any possibility, without any access to the field. So they're just pushing harder and harder. So you're doing red light therapy and you're doing all the biohacking things, but you're highly stressed and you're pushing harder. You're not getting enough sleep. What's that doing for you, bro? Like it's not actually healthy.
Yeah. So I'm writing I decided to write like a mini book on power moves because I don't think it's a big book. I think it's a nice, small, condensed book because it's a good idea, but I don't want to like put too much fluff behind it just to make it something.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm sort of like saying in Power Moves is that we develop our habits, and then over time those habits give us diminishing returns. And very often what we are trying to do is we are trying to optimize these habits, even though that's not going to get you anywhere. You know, like once you've established a habit or you are stuck in a certain routine, the character trait of that is the fact that I can predict what your next week's going to look like. And I can predict what the week after that's going to look like. Because when you do a habit, even if there's a small improvement, it's more or less the same output that you are getting. And the in opposition to that then is a power move, which is that you do something and it creates a new reality. I can't tell what that reality is going to be, because you've done something and it's opened up possibility, and we don't know where that's going to go. But that's the exciting part, is that you've opened up possibility. But these two things play together. When you establish a new habit initially, or when you do a new thing, that is the power move. But then for that power move to actually bear fruit in the long run, it needs to be backed up by the consistency and the repetition that is a habit.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. Like it feels to me like a very similar thing, which is that the quantum is it's the power move, and then the Newtonian is the reaction that gets us moving forward.
Fair. Power move. Another way of saying a power move is reacting differently to the world that used to trigger you.
Yeah.
And when you react differently, the reflection point starts to change. And I'll give you an example for me. And the example for me is money, right? And how do you react differently to money is somebody owed me quite a lot of money. And what I did is I wrote the debt off. And what really got me feeling so good is that I reacted totally differently to that amount of money. That amount of money was, I'm just going to write it off. I'm just going to clean the year out without expecting that person to pay me. And I'm also going to absolve them of the debt. And for me, that was a different reaction to money, which means that money will then react differently to me because it doesn't have such a hook on me. Now, I made that poster this week that went mad. It went so many people saw it, but so many people got angry with me and they missed the point of the post. It was about the air hostess that was speaking about the difference between economy, business class, and first class.
Yeah.
And the post was about economy eats everything they get. Business class still has some vigor in the way they eat. First class hardly eats. And it's so funny, dude. I fly first class. I don't really eat. Like, it's the weirdest thing. Sometimes I eat, sometimes I don't. And the whole point of the post was the less you need something, the less you reacted by something, the more you get it. That's kind of the oxymoron of reality, the weirdness of reality. But people got so pissed off with me. They thought, oh, so arrogant. I'm like, no, that's not what I was trying to say.
They took it very literal. I think that's the thing.
Very literal.
Yes. Yeah.
And you could see the literal people taking it, and they come from poor backgrounds.
Mm. But of course, that's going to trigger you. Yeah.
Of course. I used to be triggered by it.
Yeah.
And only afterwards when I posted, I was like, this would have triggered me earlier. But guess what? I'm reacting differently. And because I'm reacting differently, it's a power move.
Yeah.
And that power move is your ability to understand quantum science and deal with quantum science in new ways.
Listen, speaking of money, you know, every year we do a review.
How much you owe me?
Well, no, we do a review of, because you are usually my number one salesman. And I can't really say that this year that has been the case. I want us to run the numbers. Woo-hoo! On this year.
You know, salespeople only stay salespeople when they get comp. I haven't been paid comp for the last 6 years. So,
I've friendship. Also, like, lost you interest. Deep friendship.
Yes, deep friendship. I mean, it pays my rent. Yeah. Go on, tell me your numbers.
I don't actually have it in front of me. But they were poor. They were poor. If I have to,
Showing. Who are you meeting later? Who are you meeting later this today or next
week? Yeah, thank
week?
You for
Is
that.
It a new agency? Okay. That's it. Ungrateful
I'm just
little
saying,
bitch.
I'm just thinking, I'm extremely grateful. I'm just saying.
No, you're not.
But compared to previous years of performance, I'm not sure if you've exceeded or maybe like, you know.
I've been, no, you know what it is. Bit.
Yeah.
No, no. I just mean focused on myself. Sovereign. Sovereign. I told you my word for the year was sovereignty, not Eric Kruger. That wasn't my word of the year. Anyway, let's go to your word of the year.
That could be a word of the year for you for 2026. I'm just saying.
Yeah, my word of 2026, Eric Kruger. What's your word of the year? Eric Kruger.
Eric Kruger.
Okay, I'm fanboying Eric Kruger. So tell me, your word of the year was new.
Magic.
Oh, magic. Right. Okay. Yeah. Last year was new.
Last year was new. This year was magic. I've been thinking about it a lot over the past 2 weeks, and I don't feel like I tapped into that enough this year. I wish I could say I did. And I think when I wrote down that word initially, the quote that sort of went with that was that quote that said, only those who look for magic will find it. And so I was very intentional this year that I wanted to find magic, but not just find magic, but be the magician that creates it. And I don't feel like I nailed it. Not only that I didn't nail it from my side, but I also just don't feel like I found it in the ways that I wanted to find it.
Can I need to disagree and stop you right here.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. When I was at Dr. Joe 2 years ago, I was doing the NCS training. And I remember telling you about this, actually. The NCS training is the NeuroChange corporate training that he does. And I remember thinking to myself that I wasn't successful enough. And the only message I was giving reality is I'm not successful enough. I'm not successful enough. I'm not successful enough. And in that July event, I decided to start saying, I am incredibly successful. I'm incredibly successful. I'm incredibly successful. And what happens is you start to change the resonance of your work. And I think what you've got to do is look for the magical parts of your year. What you're doing is you are relating magic to one aspect of your life. You're not actually adding magic to your unbelievable trophy husband lifestyle. Unbelievable. I mean, who else in the world has a lifestyle like yours? Who drives a Porsche? Who's got the most delicious dogs? Your wife has been through some operations. She's super healthy. You've been overseas. Your podcast has done exceptionally well. I think your focus is on one thing. And in that one thing, could you have done better? Yes. But guess what? So could I have.
Yeah.
And so I think you need to shift magic into saying, well, what was magical and what else do I want to create in magic?
Yeah. Thank you for that. There were definitely magical parts. And those magical parts, they sit inside of... There's some inside of like the professional realm, but I'd say 80% of it is sitting outside of that realm, which maybe isn't the worst thing. Like that doesn't mean that's the right or wrong way. I guess I just wanted more magic this year on the professional side.
Of course.
And I can tell you actually what happened, exactly what I think happened this year. Yeah. So 2024 was a great year for me from an international point of view. I ended up doing, I think it was about 11 or 12 gigs internationally. And this being, traveling, so it was like Bali, Santo Domingo, Mexico. Then I also did like international.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Who said that? John. Carry on. Can't be serious for one second while you're trying to pour your heart out here.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to be so deeply vulnerable. But anyway, so it was a really good year. Thank you, John. And I remember thinking, especially as I went into Jan, there's no way this is going to continue.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And reflecting back on it, I just don't think I had the capacity to contain the success that I was having and it felt to me like I was already fearful of losing what I was getting.
Oof.
And, yeah, I know, and that, guess bro. What happened this year? And guess what happened this year? So I think like I've been dealing with it. Like, so I feel recalibrated. I feel in a space where I have capacity and I've created the container.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact that's what triggered into this year for me.
So self-doubt?
Yeah, and it's not about the delivery. That's the weird part. Like
no.
Because I've been nailing delivery better than ever. Like I feel I was telling you the other day, like more ready than ever for the bigger stages. Like you can put me on a stage, I know I'll crush it on that stage.
Yeah.
It was I guess there was like a doubt around the consistency of it just continuing. Like it felt like, it almost felt like fluke in a way. And so I was like, okay, well, like if it's fluke, it's going to pass. And then when it passes, like that's it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was living this year in a reality that I created myself or at the end of the last year.
Mm. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I mean, I think we spoke about it off air about thinking you deserve it. And you didn't think you deserved it. You somehow thought it was a one-off. I mean, you know what happened? I was with my accounting team and they were going through my turnovers for the year. I had an unbelievable month in July, August. It was like, it was 50% higher than I've ever done. And my accounting team said, oh, and August was an anomaly. I said, whoa. This is the new normal, not an anomaly. They're like, so sorry. You're right. This is the new normal. I was like, yes, that language, for me to look at that turnover and go, oh my God, how lucky were we? No, I actually changed the graph of how we measure our turnover and pushed it up to show that big turnover was only 2/3 of the page. Whereas last 2 years ago, it would have shot right through my goals. So also the language that we think we deserve and that we think is valid for us is what comes across. And you're expecting your top salesman to swim upstream against your own crap internal dialogue. I'm not a magic maker. I'm just a sales guy doing my best.
Sorry. I was getting in your way there this year.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, so I think, you know, that is my like most honest reflection of this year. Is that it was still a good year. It was a better year than 2023. It was a worse year than 2024. And it's mostly because I didn't shoot internationally more than I wanted to. So yeah, like, but that belief I think has been dealt with.
Well, I hope that your word for next year is relating to this challenge that you've had. Because I think the challenge here is your worthiness of thinking that you can earn that type of money and be on those type of stages. And whoever's listening to this is, how are you writing the script of what you think you deserve? Like, where is that script being written? And how often are you rewriting that script?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't even thought about a word for the year for next year. I've still been like processing 2025. And, you know, like it was still a good year. Like if I look back, like I had some magic stages that I was on. And did a great 6-part roadshow for organizations. Mm. So like, yes, there were still lots of highlights. And in those moments, there were lots of magic. But the magic that I was after was the global stage. And it's weird because there's this dichotomy between, I feel worthy to be on the stage. That part is extremely taken care of. And I think especially because we've been speaking a lot about the industry this year and we've been looking at like speakers and what are they doing. And I'm playing the comparison game and I know that I'm better than many of them. And it's not, I'm not trying to be like arrogant
when I
say that.
I agree. You are better than many of them.
And so I know that I have what it takes and I've been on those stages. So I also feel good being on those stages.
But that's not the challenge.
It was just the
Maybe
it's the money component of it. Maybe it's the... like, oh, it's a fluke component of it. But like, it was like, that was the weird part of like having to deal with this, I don't know, this like situation that I found myself in this year, like this weird space.
Well, look, I mean, I want to just say that thank you so much for holding space because every time I hit a winner, I tell you, and you're always warm and always gracious. You must probably be punching a bag in the background, but either way, with me, you're always very warm and engaging and I appreciate that. But I do think that's good work for you to become aware of more and more. And I think the fact that you even are sharing this on the pod is really a huge step in your level of vulnerability. And I think that in itself unlocks a lot of the, just verbalizing it, right? And also in public, because that's what you're doing. You're verbalizing your vulnerability in public. Mm. And I think this also helps a lot of the listeners realizing that maybe they didn't reach what they wanted to reach, whether it's in a relationship or fitness or money or business or whatever the case may be, because of that underlying capacity that you think of what you're worth. Mm. And that container is so, so important. Maybe the most important thing is thinking what you think you're worth. Like, and you can say whatever you want to say. There's obviously a kink in the projection there, because if there wasn't, you would be on the international stage.
Mm.
So there's a kink somewhere, and you have to iron out that kink. But also what I've been telling you as well offline is come spend more time here. I mean, that's really the only thing you can do.
Yeah, that's a big part of next year.
Mm. Yeah, really, really. And a lot of people get hold of me about Dubai. And I'm like, guy, yes, Dubai is amazing, but everybody's trying to be in Dubai. So come be here. Otherwise, you can't be here. I mean, what are they going to hire you on a website? They're not. They need to see you, chat to you, be here. And so whoever's listening to this, as far as our listeners are concerned, who are you hanging around with that's holding you back? And where should you be hanging around with to open up the new doors for you so that you can start to have the bigger conversations and move into the space that you think you deserve to be in.
Mm.
So important.
Listen, two things. One is it's never difficult for me to hold space, because I'm extremely happy when you are winning. Like, that is, how can I not be, you know? Number one, I want to see you win. Number two is you take me with you. Sorry.
Exactly. I was just waiting. It's like, Let's not kid. Look, John, I'm so happy for you, because I know they're listening to the pod, and I'm on the pod. That means they're going to hear me, and then I'm going to be trailing right behind you. Look, we're all selfish human beings, and it's okay. It's just the way it is.
But I also really do want to see you win. Yeah. It really makes me happy to see you win, because I also see the effort and the intention and everything that goes on and into it behind the scenes, and the deep work and the hard work. So, honestly, at a real genuine level, I want to see you win. And I love when you share those wins with me. So thank you for that. I'd love to know what has been a challenge for you this year. Like, where have you, because you've had a lot of, I think you've had a year of going from strength to strength. What has been
the challenge that I've been through? I can't talk on the pod about, and you know about it.
Yes.
It's too personal.
Anything else?
And no, nothing compares to that.
Okay.
Nothing compares to that. One day I'll talk about it. But overcoming that really has put me in the most powerful position of who I am. I feel emotional about it, but it pushed me to the deepest, darkest places of my life. And my friend who's been through something similar, we were laughing about it because we called it Jesus time.
Yeah.
When you are by yourself and nobody else around you can share the pain, and you have to hit that pain head on. There's nowhere to hide. There's no way to get around it. You have to sit in it, stew in it, and overcome it. And for 5 years, I went through this process of fighting this battle within myself and overcoming it mid-year for my 50th, actually, and then getting the tattoo as a representation of overcoming that win has been maybe my life's biggest catalyst into meeting Jesus time, overcoming Jesus time, and being grateful for Jesus time, and now moving forward. So I would think that is the major, major obstacle that I've gotten over, and I'll write about it eventually. Once I've really alchemized it and processed it, I haven't quite yet done that. I still have some anger around it and some irritation around it, but that will heal, and then I'll share it. But thank you for the question, and right back at you. What's been some of the biggest challenges for you, or the biggest?
Well, I'd say just that, what I've just been discussing.
Oh,
like, actually, and in light of that, you know, like it really has strengthened my relationship with Danica. Like, I think it's strengthened my business as well, because it's made me think about my business in different kind of ways. And as I'm standing here today, I couldn't feel more clear about 2026. It's brought into focus a lot of what I want to do, where I want to put my focus and effort and energy. So having a tough year in that sense has been good for me. And it's also shown me what I'm capable of and the frustration that I'm able to hold. So that's been good. And it all comes back to the same thing every single time. Like all the conversations we have, it all comes back to you have to do the inner work in order to transform your outer world. It just comes back to that. It is like there's no getting away from that. There's nothing true. No. And it's even become the theme for Leadership Lab and the How Leaders Evolve, my keynote. It's like if you want to transform anything around you, your team, your organization, it starts with transformation of you. That is it. Like, stop thinking that you're going to change the world. Stop thinking and walk into your team and change your team without doing the work first. Like, there's just no way. And so, like, it all comes back to, are we doing the work? And to what extent are you doing the work? And to what extent are you paying attention to your triggers, your frustrations, your angers, your, like, anything that creates a bit of a tinge in you? Like, how are you paying attention to those? And then are you actually doing the work to resolve them, or are you just letting them sit? Like, do you go through that process and then you like let it eventually wash over you and then you carry on with your life again and you've never actually dealt with that thing? And all of it is just signals for you to go and do deeper work. And do deeper work can be very, very deep, like stuck in a psilocybin journey somewhere. Or it could be like just sit your ass down and actually think about what you are going through and why you are reacting to the world the way that you are reacting to the world. And the more you do that inner work, the more composed you show up, but also the more the world around you transforms. So it always just comes back to that.
Always and forever. It's about the internal dialogue that you're having, projecting out into the world, and the world is echoing that back to you. Mm-hmm. Quite simple.
That's it.
Most people don't want to take that responsibility because it's very difficult. And so the biggest job for 2026 for everybody, and now that you're going into your December holidays, if you are going on holiday, is find and create a habit that is self-reflective, that is able to unplug you from your current reality. And if you're able to do that, your year next year becomes smoother, more adaptable, more optimistic, just more fun, more fun than anything else. And that's, I think, the real trick is how to become loose, how to become flexible and not take things too seriously. And with all the work I do, I still take things personally. Now, I always think to myself, people that never meditate and never do these things, geez, imagine the amount of momentum built on those triggers. The anger, the pain, the frustration, the unforgiveness, all that stuff comes from an internal dialogue that thinks the world's against you based on trauma. And so well done to you, Eric. I mean, I've really watched you evolve so much. And you've had a very big year in as far as discovering yourself and discovering new aspects of yourself. And
for sure.
Never forget the incredibly favored life that you live in Cape Town. Whenever I see pictures of you and your dog, I feel so grateful that you have that. And I also feel sad that I don't. And just those relationships are sacred, man. They're so, so sacred. This morning I went for a walk and now there's people walking dogs in the marina all the time. And it's banned. There's pictures of no dogs allowed. People are walking dogs. And I'm greeting every single dog. And I'm like, yes, man. Hi, Arthur, what's up? So I'm constantly taking advantage of meeting these dogs. So
I was telling you that when I meditate, there's one of three things that happen. One is nothing. Like I can't get into it. Two is that I end up with a whole list of like to-dos that come out of my meditation. Or three is that I'm just like in it and just like experiencing it. And yesterday when I was meditating, two things came up for me. And I don't know, like it was, we kind of around the time that we adopted Atlas. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. But I had this download that I need to tell Jaeger that it has been the honor of a lifetime to get to know him. Because he's been the most amazing dog. And like when we met him, he was so guarded and he was so scared of everything. Yeah. And like once we've gotten to know him, he's been incredible. Like
distinguished gentleman.
Yeah. And so I had to tell him that, and I had to tell Atlasy that he has done a good job of filling the pause that came before him, because we obviously adopted him after Axel died. And Axel was King Axel. Like, I mean, he left.
Yeah.
He was a machine. And it's not that I ever expected Atlas to fill his shoes, like his boots, but like he stepped into that role and he's filled the space and he's filled it beautifully in his own way. And so I had to tell him that he's done a great job filling that space. Yeah.
Wow, I feel emotional. And you know what that's called, Eric? Magic.
Yeah.
It's magic, bro. It's so magical. It's so beautiful. And the only time we cry in this pod is because of dogs. Oh, God.
Did you see my post yesterday where I put down the seven things? Did you see number three? Dogs. Yeah.
You get dogs.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Well, look, stay blessed. I'll be speaking to you over the Christmas holidays. And for all our listeners, hope you have a safe traveling time wherever you're going and whatever you're doing. Thank you so much for everybody tuning into the pod. It's just a delightful surprise. I mean, I was in Mexico and a lady came up to me. I told you, I was on the beach and a lady came up to me and said, "Hey, we love your pod." I'm like, "What? In Mexico on the beach? Great. Okay, well, this is what's happening with the pod, right?" And we know we're near as big as the big, big players. So it's always a grateful for people listening and coming up and saying so. And I'm looking forward to your word of the year. And thanks so much for being part of this year with me on The Expansive on my podcast. Thanks for always being a guest on my podcast, Eric. It's been wonderful to have you. Anyway, thanks so much, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Till next year.
Till next year.
Ciao.